Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're going to study the blood of Jesus for several broadcasts because it's important that you understand the blood of Jesus and the application and how it's applied in your life today. We're going to be looking at the scriptures in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The first use about the blood is back in Genesis chapter 4, where the Bible records the incident where Cain killed Abel. Remember, after the murder of Abel, the Lord came to Cain and he said, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Well, of course, Cain proceeds to lie, saying he didn't know, and defends himself, saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the Lord responds to Cain in verse 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God, he knew that Cain had killed Abel, and he makes a statement about the blood that's important to understand. He said that Abel's blood cried to God from the ground. That tells you something, that blood is a living thing. In fact, it even had a voice and speaks even after one is dead. The truth is that blood is living and is further seen in Leviticus 17:11, where the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." So the life of a human being is in the blood. When Abel's blood was shed, having been murdered by Cain, his blood still contained life. It cried unto God from the ground. So whenever blood shed, there is a releasing of life that's contained within it. And that's important for you to understand, because we'll see this truth when we talk about the New Testament. When Jesus shed his blood and died, there was a releasing of his life within his blood. Another important revelation about blood comes in Genesis 17. This is where God came to Abram when he was 99 years old, and he told him to walk before Almighty God and be perfect. He further said that he was going to make a covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 2, he said, "I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And then in verse 10, he said, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." Here God declared that he was going to make a covenant with Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. The token or the sign of the covenant was what? Circumcision of the flesh of the foreskin. What would happen? Blood would be shed. So the shedding of blood was the means whereby Abraham and his seed entered into a covenant relationship with God. So this is another important point. We see that covenant relationships with God are blood covenants. We see further revelation in Exodus chapter 4 and Exodus chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 4, here's the case where the Lord said, "What is in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, appeared unto thee. And then the Lord said, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And then he said, "Put thy hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land. The water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Here, in casting the rod down, becoming the serpent, that was pointing towards Jesus, who was going to become the serpent on the cross. He went to the cross as the sinless Lamb of God, made sin on the cross. Now when Moses picked up the tail of the serpent, it became a rod, remember? This points to Jesus being raised from the dead, having put away sin. Because remember, the rod's what budded. And the second sign in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, where Moses' hand became leprous at first and then was cleansed of the leprosy when he pulled his hand out of his bosom. The second time, that points toward the revelation that man has a sinful heart. And, of course, it pointed out the good news that Jesus was going to go to the cross, become sin, and he would bring forth a new heart in man when he became a new creation in Christ. The two signs indicate that Jesus would go to the cross, become sin for man who had a sinful heart, in order that he might take it away and receive a new heart that was clean before God. In Exodus 4:9, the Lord said, "If they'll not believe these two signs, the water of the river shall become blood and be poured out on the dry land." Blood on the dry land speaks of judgment. Thus, this points toward the fact that if man rejects the work of Jesus on the cross and through the resurrection, where he took away the sins of mankind and then was raised from the dead to bring forth a new creation with a new, clean heart through receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, he will be judged. Now, in Exodus chapter 7, we see beginning here in verse 17, he said to the Lord, "In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with a rod that's in my hand upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood." And the Lord spake to Moses, saying to Aaron, "Take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone." And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The turning of all the waters into blood was one of the plagues that came upon Egypt, because remember, Pharaoh, he wouldn't let God's people go from bondage in Egypt. Pharaoh, in Scripture, is a type of Satan. His servants are a type of those under his control. Egypt is a type of the world in Scripture. So just as Pharaoh had the Israelites in bondage under his control in Egypt, so Satan has mankind in bondage under his control in the world. The blood signified judgment, and the turning of all the waters into blood signified judgment on Pharaoh and those in Egypt. It was pointing towards the fact that there's going to be judgment to come upon Satan and those under his control. And this judgment came through the blood of Jesus being shed when he died on the cross. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, "Likewise then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them through fear of death, who were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, through death, he brought judgment upon Satan. He destroyed him, took away his power of spiritual death. He took back the keys of hell and death, remember? And he delivered mankind from the lifetime of spiritual bondage. Remember, Satan, he's the god and the prince of this world. He's been judged. And those under his control that don't receive Jesus as their Savior, they're also judged. We know this out of John 12:31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." In John 16, verse 8 and 11, "When he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." And verse 11 says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." This shows the fact that Satan and this world have been judged, and that the Holy Spirit, of course, he's going to reprove, he's going to convict people of this. They'll listen and they'll receive Jesus Christ, personal Lord and Savior. Then, of course, they won't be judged. But the blood reveals judgment of God upon Satan and upon the world. Now, let's look at the next place in Scripture where we see about the blood. It's in Exodus chapter 12. Here's where the Israelites were brought up out of Egypt. This passage of Scripture speaks about his judgment as well. However, it also reveals the protection from God's judgment. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man of lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year, and you'll take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein you shall eat it." And then in verse 11, "And thus shall you eat of it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you're going to eat it in haste, because it's the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." What's going on here? This is in Exodus 12 where God's judgment is coming again on the Pharaoh and those in Egypt. The Israelites were protected from that judgment and then, of course, delivered out of Egypt. What did God do? He told all the congregation to take a lamb for a house for every man. The lamb was to be without blemish, a male the first year, and was to be taken out from the sheep or the goats. And they were supposed to examine it from the tenth of the 14th day, and then they were to kill this lamb in the evening and take of the blood, strike it on the upper doorpost and the two side posts of each house in which they were residing. They were told to eat the lamb in haste and be ready to leave their homes. And they were told to do this because why? The Lord's going to bring forth judgment. He was going to execute judgment upon Egypt and upon all those gods of Egypt. And so this was the Lord's Passover and executing the judgment. God was going to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And he said the blood upon the upper post and the side post of the houses would be a token for them that when he saw the blood, then he would pass over their house and not bring judgment upon them. So this again shows that blood as a token or sign of covenant relationship with God protected them from being judged because judgment was going to come by God upon Pharaoh and Egypt. So the blood showed the fact that they could be protected as they were in fellowship with God. The Old Testament reveals physical types and spiritual realities in the New Testament. You've got to understand the physical, the Old Testament are physical types and shadows of spiritual realities. Now, what's the lamb? The lamb's a physical type, of course, of Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. The lamb was to be without blemish, so Jesus without any kind of blemish or sin. He was the sinless lamb who was going to be offered up on the cross. Now, the lamb, remember, he was examined the 10th day of the first month until the 14th day. Well, what happened? Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the first month and was examined by the chief priests, the elders, the people, until the 14th day when he was crucified. That's why Jesus did things exactly on the specific days. This is a type of Jesus being crucified to bring forth the redemption. The blood from the lamb was put on the upper post, two side posts, the sign of the cross upon which Jesus was to be crucified. Now, the people did not put the blood upon themselves. They only put it upon the doorpost, signifying Jesus shedding his blood on the cross to accomplish redemption. They were supposed to eat the lamb, which is a type of man receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, if you eat something, what happens? It comes within you. This points toward man receiving Jesus Christ within himself. So when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you get born again, you receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you. And also, they were supposed to be ready to leave their houses and exit out of Egypt. Remember, Egypt's a type of the world. So the Israelites leaving Egypt after eating the lamb is a type of believers in Christ, exiting from the ways of the world. You got to leave the ways of the world and follow the Word of God. Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to continue on this subject in the next broadcast. As I close the program today, I want to make available the book, Understanding the Blood of Jesus, for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, my book, Understanding the Blood of Jesus, for $6, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.